AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura go head-to-head for a third time. The Miz and Seth Rollins steal this show. This and more on your Backlash After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Only man that I think besides The Miz that we had to play his song because he deserves it. Such an awesome opening match on Backlash today. We have so much to talk about, but first of all, things may be looking a little weird to our casual viewers. I'm on the couch. We have Steve and George on the table. We're playing a little bit of musical chairs, as you know. So to the left, we have Steve Kaufman, everybody. To the right, we have George Hermosa. And as you guys know, I'm Denise Salcedo. We have a lot to get started, so let's go ahead and get the show going. All right. So, guys, this is the first time since WWE announced that we're going to have co-branded pay-per-views. Backlash is the first one getting us started after the Greatest Royal Rumble, if you want to count that one, technically after WrestleMania, getting started with a co-branded pay-per-view. So what I want to know is, what are your thoughts on WWE going back to a co-branded pay-per-view? I think I will start.
I'm not going to lie. I get why. I completely know why they did it. I'm not saying, oh, I don't know why they did it. With that said, I am not a fan. I say that because I feel like there's a lot of guys that are going to get lost in the shuffle. There are so many guys they have now on each roster. I look back, and this is the nerd coming out in me. I look back to the first draft back in 2002. It took them about a year and like a few months for them to have separate pay-per-views. But every now, it was co-branded and whatnot. And then it was another 4 years before they went back to the co-branded. And I feel like, even dating back to then where it was 07, it was like John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H, Edge. Like, those guys were all in the same main event, you know, over and over and over again. And I feel like we're going to see that a lot now, too. And nothing against those guys. Those are all great, fantastic future Hall of Famers, Edge being a Hall of Famer now. But I feel like we're going to see Roman, AJ, you know, maybe Bryan all in the main event, like the same guys, as opposed to, like, co-branded pay-per-view. We saw Jinder Mahal get a good shot. We saw Braun Strowman grow as a guy. You know, like, we saw so many guys, and I feel like now with co-branded pay-per-views, maybe it's just going to be like a Night of Champions all over again, because it's going to be like five championships on the line every single time. And then you have a lot of guys, like, or girls, I'm going to talk about it too, where Asuka wasn't on the show, Mickie James wasn't on the show. You had guys like show up in a segment. You know, and again, I'm not a fan. I wish it was really single branded pay per views, but I mean, I get why they did it, but I'm not a fan.
I'm going to start off by saying, as a fan, I couldn't help but agree with you, and I couldn't help but agree with you walking into this show. I will say, as a fan watching this show, we got way more bang for our buck than we did the previous Backlash. Because the previous Backlash, it wasn't the strongest card, because it wasn't the strongest roster. The strongest roster would be the best of both. So as a fan, we're actually getting more. As a wrestler, you are correct that people are going to get lost in the shuffle. Completely lost in the shuffle. Like, the New Day were in a joke segment. Like, the New Day are the equivalent to Elias and No Way Jose as it stands on this pay-per-view. And it, like, I don't know. It's, I liked this show, and I liked the matches on this show, and I do like that together you can get the best possible 10-match, 5-match, 8-match card, and I want to believe that they're going to grow to a place that they don't care if the world title goes on last, or, like, whatever angles are hot get to be on the pay-per-view at the end of the month, and there's only one pay-per-view every month. What we've learned from experience is that's probably not going to happen. What'll happen is eventually, well, it's not going to matter. Let's get everybody on Raw. And then once we get everybody on Raw, everyone's on SmackDown. And then everything is just commingled. And then there just happens to be two world titles. Well, let's merge the two world titles. And it becomes a mess. And I think I've been alarmist about this for a very long time. But if all the shows looked like this one, and they properly cycled the hot, like, properly cycled people in and out of the hotter acts, the hotter feuds, I'm okay with it. If they all look like Backlash, I'm not going to complain.
Well, do you think that maybe with the co-branded pay-per-views, you know, it's more of a belt where you kind of have to be the, now when you're on watching Raw and SmackDown, the guys that are not the main eventers, they kind of have to work extra harder to kind of make it onto the pay-per-view show to make it a little bit more worthy. But then at the same time, I think that it kind of sucks for the guys that, you know, aren't going to get that bonus, I guess you can say, paycheck. Mm-hmm. Do you guys kind of agree with that?
I think it makes, I think I see your point where it makes guys work harder, makes girls work harder, obviously, as well. My biggest fear, I'm a big fan of the brand split. I'm a huge fan. I liked it the first mm-hmm. time. I liked it even more now because I feel like now they're maybe really separating the rosters in two. I'm just afraid that this is going to end up leading to the end of the brand extension. You know, we saw that, you know, 10 years ago, obviously Backlash, coincidentally, Backlash 07 was the first non, you know, exclusive pay-per-view for each one. And just, you know, we saw a lot of intermingling. We saw a world champion show up on each one. In that case, we would even see like Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk when it was world champion against WWE champion. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, no big deal. It was champion versus champion. Oh, it's on Raw. It's also on SmackDown. Like, I don't want that.
Also, that was a symptom. Like, Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, while they were both world champions, that was a symptom of the fact that neither of them were. Both of them were top, like both of them were champions, and neither of them were considered top guys. Like that was in the John Cena Rock,
and then
Triple H turns up.
Cena Laurinaitis would main event over that match.
Yeah, like it's like I agree with you that this can be a harbinger of things we should be worried for. However, if they all look like Backlash, we shouldn't be worried.
I'll give things a shot. I mean, obviously, it's the first pay per view. Well, technically, because. I mean, if this was the first paper, what was Greatest World Rumble then, you know? But and I had everybody. But, I mean, I'll give it a chance. I mean, like I said, I hope this doesn't mean the end of the brand split. I mean, it's only been like a year and a half. Like, can you at least maybe give a shot to maybe more brand inclusive pay-per-views? You know, I really think like Breezango and Usos had a fantastic match last Backlash, you know, against the emergence of Jinder Mahal. I feel like we wouldn't have seen that if it wasn't for the brand exclusive pay-per-views.
You're not wrong, but like I think at this point, because the show has happened, I'm trying to move forward in the idea mm-hmm. of like they're not going to back down anytime soon. So I'm thinking of like what are they going to do for Money in the Bank mm-hmm. that's going to what will Money in the Bank look like, and what will all of these pay-per-views look like in a way, especially the fact that Brock Lesnar's not going to be there the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. Like of let's call it 12, it'll probably be more like 15 pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Of those 15, Brock Lesnar will be there maybe 5 of them. So he's a special attraction who happens to hold a red belt. So you really only have one world champion, so that helps one of the things. I can see a way where, like, also Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, was a hotter angle mm-hmm. and should have gone on last because it was a hotter angle than Nakamura Styles.
Before we get to that,
we had a very shocking, I guess you can say, finale to Backlash. I don't know if we all saw or thought that Roman Reigns was in fact going to defeat Samoa Joe, which he did. What did you guys think about Roman Reigns being in the main event?
Again.
Yes.
I'll say it. Samoa Joe carried this angle, carried this event, carried this, not this whole card, because this whole card was a lot of things, but these two getting to go on last means that they feel that Roman Reigns is the guy. Whether we feel that or not is our right to say, but Roman Reigns is the guy in their opinion. He's the top guy. It doesn't matter who's the champion so much as who does Vince think is the top guy, and right now that's Roman Reigns. Samoa Joe came out and has been spitting fire and has been one of the most interesting things on wrestling television these past 4 weeks. The straight hot take, I think this match was hotter than Nakamura Styles, which, I mean, this one, like, we'll get there when we get there. That was more fresh, but I, like, heading into this one, it was kind of more of the same, more of a holding pattern, more of a, like, where are we going?
If you show me the match order on paper before the show, I would have flipped the lid.
Fair.
Maybe I'm old school, but I think the WWE Championship, or in some cases a Universal Championship, should go on last. And maybe that's just the purist in me. So if you were to show me the card, I would have been like, what? This is bull. You know, how is AJ Nakamura not the main event? Post-show, I feel that AJ Nakamura was the perfect placement on where it was, considering the finish of it, which we'll get to in a little bit. I completely agree that Roman is the guy. Like, there's no debating that. Like, there's none whatsoever. He's been the guy.
Uh-huh.
And I don't blame them. Like, the guy looks like him. I think, I've said it before, Cena looks like $1 million. Roman looks like $5 million. Like, that guy just looks money. You know what I mean? I could do without the chest protector, though.
Me too. But I think he looks better without the chest protector. Yeah. We're really going to get into it. I think when he turns up to just cut a promo and he's wearing a sleeveless t-shirt, or if you just see him in the airport, he looks way more imposing. And the guy that he's presented, or allegedly he is, he makes way more sense as that guy. Everything but when he's in the ring.
I will say, though, that I do disagree with, I don't think this was that hot of an angle. Mostly because they didn't really have much time to really interact with each other, aside from that Raw after Mania. Because there was a lot of like, oh, here's Samoa Joe in his little pre-shot package. Here's, you know, Samoa Joe coming on SmackDown talking about Roman Reigns. It's like, I don't know. It wasn't really spitting hot fire to me.
You don't think Samoa Joe is spitting hot fire?
I don't think the feud was.
I thought Samoa Joe's hot fire was the feud.
I think he's done great work since he's come back. I don't know. There's just something about this feud. And this goes to show that maybe they need more guys. I mean, I don't even know who. I don't think this is the right main event, but I also don't think that the AJ Nakamura should have main evented considering that finish.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, though. So I definitely agree that AJ and Nakamura should have stayed just because of the finish.
Mm-hmm.
But here's with Joe and Roman Reigns, the crowd did not care at all. And Samoa Joe is a guy that we are behind of, that we have been excited for. Granted, he's still not there where, you know, this should have been the main event, but we were excited for this guy. Now, the entire time, the crowd completely hated on this match, where they were chanting delete. They were chanting CM Punk. There's photos all over Twitter of all the people that were leaving during this main event. So obviously, Roman Reigns is clearly not the guy to us, but it's just, how can you, if Samoa Joe, a guy that we're behind of, we can't even, the audience, watch a match with him and Roman Reigns, what does that tell you about Roman Reigns? He's got to get out. He's got to take a break. We need a break from Roman Reigns.
I think this was the wrong main event. And this goes to show, maybe in some ways, this maybe they're not really evolving the women. Because you had two women's championship match, and they're trying to make them as equal as the men. You know, what is Charlotte's over enough? Is Carmella not over enough? Is Alexa not? Is Nia not? Like, how come those ones can't be built toward the main event as well? I think that is a bigger travesty than them not being on the Royal Rumble last week. I feel like you got these two championship matches. Now you have four possibilities of, again, this is me being a purist, of a main event.
Yeah.
The Universal, the WWE, and both women's championship. We've seen a women main event before. We saw the main event Royal Rumble. We saw the main event Hell in a Cell. Okay, so what? You need to build up these women more where now they can main event as well, not just Roman Reigns all the time. And I love Roman Reigns. So, I'm saying that as a Roman Reigns fan, but come on, man. I don't think this feud was that great as far as main event worthy.
I'll concede that it's not main event worthy in the sense that Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, or the Samoan Joes, as some some may call it. I would concede that this isn't a main event in the sense that a main event, a true main event, is something you'll stay past 11 p.m. on a Sunday night to watch. Because once again, by having 10 matches on this card, I didn't count them, 9 matches including the pre-show, if you're to have a 9-match card start at 7 p.m., you are running the risk of being in that building well after 10 p.m. on a work night where people have to be somewhere the next day.
And it was an East Coast. It was in New York, New Jersey. Is that not East Rutherford? Is that a different
place? That's a different place.
I feel like it's the same building.
No.
The Prudential Center?
The Prudential Center is a completely different building in Newark versus East Rutherford, which is across the way from MetLife. They're two completely different places.
Okay.
Two completely different hockey teams play there. Couldn't tell you which ones. One of them has the Rangers. And one of them is the devil. Sorry,
Steve. I got confused on the whole arena thing. But anyways, George, you mentioned the women's championship matches. So let's get a little bit into that. How do you feel? Do you think that there was enough women's representation? What was that for you?
It goes both ways, you know, right? I love that the fact that now, you know, you have both women being represented maybe every show. But my thing is, I want there to be, and I said this for Mania, I want there to be a match on Mania where just two singles women with no belt on the line. Mm. That's where you know the woman's evolution has really evolved, where you don't need a belt. You don't need a gimmick. Just have two women just go out there and wrestle. We saw that in the pre-show. Then again, it's the pre-show. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they need to bring it back every now and then. We're going to see that next month or the next pay-per-view with Money in the Bank. But I mean, I feel like two straight pay-per-views, we saw two singles matches with women. I kind of miss seeing kind of a lot of people maybe involved in a five-way or a six-way. We saw that at Elimination Chamber. So, I don't know. I feel like I missed Asuka. Uh-huh. I missed Mickey James. I miss, you know Naomi, who just won the Battle Royal. It's like, you know, I kind of miss them. And I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't mind seeing a Fatal 4-Way maybe next, or maybe not next month, because we're going to see Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I kind of want to see them again. I know it looks like Alexa might be hurt.
WWE.com officially announced that Alexa Bliss hurt her shoulder in some way, shape, or form in her match tonight. So there's a possibility that she may not be in that title picture heading into Money in the Bank. We don't know how severe it is. I guess I'm just going to take the role of an optimist this whole night, which is, from an optimist standpoint, yes, tonight was Roman Reigns headlined, but who's to say Money in the Bank isn't headlined by just two women or just two men, or just things that aren't the Money in the Bank match or Roman Reigns or the world title or like tradition, to answer the question we had a bit ago, which is like, should the title go on last? I think yes, unless there's a better reason.
And I just didn't think Roman and Joe was a better reason.
We're not going to belabor that point. I think it was all right. But I do, from an eternal optimist standpoint, I think you can look at this like the UFC. The headline, the main event of a UFC show isn't always the title, isn't always the bigger draw, isn't always like what you think it is. Sometimes it's just the thing that they know will be the hottest thing to end the show with. And I hope we get to a place where that happens. I also think while we're circling this drain, I think Asuka, they're using Asuka as a special attraction, like The Undertaker in like the 90s, where he wouldn't turn up on TV at all, or he'd do one promo on TV and then he'd work the dark match at the end of the night. I think they're using Asuka that way. I think she's a workhorse, and I think you should use her that way. But I don't have the book yet.
Yeah, so here's the thing for me. I know, George, you said you'd like to see two women main event. But to tell you the truth, and as a woman, so whatever people want to take that as, I think that I cannot tell you a woman's feud that I have been genuinely, oh my God, excited about in years that I can recall that I wanted to see it as the main event. So to me, the main event should be, it shouldn't be about the bout. It shouldn't be about no bout. What it should be about is the feud that is so strong, so captivating, that you're just like, oh my God, I need to either A, really have this person win, or B, I don't know who's going to win. This can go either direction. I don't care if it's men against men, woman against woman, man against woman, whatever, any gender, as long as it has that really enticing, oh my God, feel to it. So for me, I don't see it as, oh, I really think the women should be main eventing. No, I want to see the hottest thing on the show main eventing.
Does that fall on the writers, or does that fall on the superstars?
Oh, that falls, it's a combination of both, because the writers can only tell you so much. If, for example, you can tell, you could have told The Rock, let's say The Rock didn't have any sort of chemistry. You told The Rock, you fed him his line, and he delivered them like nothing. Mm-hmm. No, you need to have that extra thing that The Rock has to, you know, bring it out in your promos. Same in ring. You can, you know, your agent can tell you, do this, do that in the match. But if you're not really selling it, if you're not really like killing it, you're not doing all the things that you should do to put on a good match, it's not going to come through. So it definitely has to be a combination of both.
Because I think Carmella, like the past few weeks on SmackDown, I think she's been destroying it. Like, she is like, every time she's on TV, I'm like, oh my God, like something. I like her even more, because she, like, you know, brings out something new in her every single time. I'm like, yo, like she needs a bigger like spot. Like, I don't know. I know that she was pretty late in the card, but I don't know. I feel like if written correctly, I really think Charlotte and Carmella could have legit main event of the show.
Also, Denise, I have to ask you. So Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks doesn't do it for you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you don't think they should have main evented Hell in a Cell?
Well, first of all, with Carmella, I love Carmella. Mm. I think that she what's really helping her is her personality. And, you know, she has that, like, she has what it takes to kind of grab your attention. But to me, she's not necessarily there yet. And, you know, for example, with her match with Charlotte, that was, like, a decent match. But it wasn't, like, for Charlotte, you would expect more. Her matches are usually a little bit better than this.
That's fair. The more we go on, the more I want to side with what George has been saying for a while, which is that Alexa Bliss has a stronger record than Charlotte Flair because Alexa Bliss was never protected.
And speaking of which, like, I thought that was a great match. Like, I thought Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax was really, really good. Kind of follows through with the match at Mania, like, which that was a good, coming forward for Nia Jax. And I thought this was great. Like, everything that Alexa Bliss made sense, being a smaller woman, getting the advantage of Nia Jax. I thought this was fantastic. I thought both matches were great.
Yeah, I can't deny that. They were both great. I can't help but say that they're missing a little fire. Either of these matches are just missing a little fire, and I think part
Becky
of it is
Lynch. I know.
I'm not even saying that, but you're not wrong.
Right. Well, now I have a question for you guys. So, do you think that Nia Jax is actually cutting it as a babyface? Because that's where I think it goes completely downhill.
Ask me when she's not working with Alexa Bliss.
I was going to say, I think Alexa Bliss is doing her part,
so well.
But I don't think Nia Jax has done her part as much.
I think the Queen of England at the Royal Albert Hall would be a babyface against Alexa Bliss. That's a bad analogy. I'm sorry.
Nia Jax was getting booed today. Like,
well, I think she was getting a mixed reaction because with Nia Jax, they've been taking such a long turn and a lot of windy roads with Nia Jax to actually get us to a point where they're like, no, it's okay to cheer for her. And there's just too much, like, well, she's not like most girls and she's being bullied and it's this and that and this and that, where it's the simplicity is like, no, she's Nia Jax. She's the female Braun Strowman.
I did like her post-match promo. And I want to see more of that. I want to see more. I feel like we haven't seen that part of Nia. We saw like a little bit day after Mania, but that's it. Like, yeah, I want to see her more behind the mic. I feel like that's where you can really get attached to a wrestler. And I feel like we haven't really seen that since the day after Mania.
I feel like I'm the only person that doesn't get the Nia thing, because I haven't liked Nia as an in-ring character performer at all. I feel she wasn't cutting it. She wasn't cutting it when she was a heel. She isn't cutting it as a babyface. Yes, I do think we need to see her with somebody else other than Alexa Bliss. That way maybe we can see her do something else. But I just feel like today when she was doing her promo, I was just like, God, stop talking. End this now. You're not okay. As a babyface, she is supposed to be inspiring people. Get behind her. I'm supposed to feel like, yeah, go against bullies. But it's just not coming through. It's not happening.
On the women's topic, we have to talk about Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
So do we see her in the Money in the Bank?
She's too big of a star.
I just don't see her losing, and I don't see her being Money in the Bank either. I feel like they're building toward. I don't even know who they're building toward. Like,
that's my problem.
Like, do you think that's going to be her first match?
I think so, because they have a like a relationship where they actually like train together.
Yeah.
I don't know all the details on it, but the fact is that I think that Natalya is someone that can help. I mean,
yeah.
Ronda's great. We saw her in ring debut. It was great. Yeah. But Natalya is somebody that can help her sharpen her skills. And Natalya already knows Ronda's strengths and her weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So I think they'd be a good combination.
I'm not going to belabor a point, but I want to make it very clear that the Royal Rumble after show, probably in this very room, I was very upset with how they debuted Ronda, because I knew it was likely that they were just building towards this tag match. So you take away the thunder from Asuka, who's not on the card right now, but is in the presumably in the building. And now Ronda's not there. Whereas, hypothetically, had everything gone exactly as it would, Ronda Rousey extends her hand to shake Asuka's hand, and then Asuka either straight up kicks her, or kicks her, but Ronda Rousey, being a veteran, ducks the kick, and then there's a scrum, and then there's a tag match. Now we're building towards a rumbling of like, yo, Asuka though. Asuka Rousey, that can happen. And like, we don't have that with Ronda, and I think we need that with underlying the women's division, because both of these feuds were hot, both of these matches were great. I think if we could use Rhonda as an attraction, even if she's not there, I think that would be a way to help. I don't know. That's my armchair booking.
Well, speaking of tag teams, what did you guys think in terms of the fact that there were no tag team championship matches tonight? And are Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman fit to be a tag team? Steven, do you want to start that?
First off, six-man, nothing's wrong with the six-man tag. We were all in the building when New Japan was in Long Beach, and we saw a lot of tag team matches from New Japan. Like, they can be hot, they can be awesome, they can be everything you ever wanted. This one, however, okay. Sure, people are doing things. It's happening. Tag matches. Braun, we love Braun. This felt like a holding pattern for Braun. This feels like a we don't know what to do for Bobby Lashley. And a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are so good that we can't not put them on the card. Like, I consider this kind of a battle royal match in the sense that you just kind of get everybody out there and make sure.
I've said many times, I'm not really a big fan of, like, two singles guys as a team. And there are exceptions to every rule. Miz and Morrison, I think, were great. I thought Jericho was flat-out amazing.
Sheamus Cesaro.
Yeah, I think they're
more recent
as well.
Example.
I'm going to give Matt and Bray a chance because I think they're wonderful, you know? And they entertain me. But if Strowman and Lashley are going to be a team, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just not a fan of these just two guys that should be single stars as a team. Like, I don't know. Like, and it's funny that I say that because contradictory to Sammy and KO where – and maybe it's just because obviously there's a long history with them. I want to see them succeed in the tag team division. Mm-hmm. I thought they should have been, you know, teaming, you know, or beating the Usos at Mania for the belt, you know. Obviously a different direction that they went in. But now with that said, if they're going to go with, like, McIntyre and Ziggler, you know, maybe Apollo and Titus O'Neil, like
singles guys tagging together.
Yeah, I really want to see.
But not going for tag team.
And then you have Revival, who's still on Raw. but I really want to see Sami and KO. And I feel like maybe we saw a bit of, like, dissension today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but obviously they're brothers. You know, they've been together for a long brothers fight. I'm sure they consider themselves brothers. But I really want them to really put the foot on the gas pedal as far as Sami and KO need to be tag team champions. You know, maybe one of the few aside from the Hardys, former Ring of Honor champions, the tag team champions to hopefully win at some point the WWE tag team championships.
Also, like, and what I've been saying all night, like. At one point, they were tag team. At one point, the tag team champions in Ring of Honor were main eventing the shows.
Yeah.
Like, the hottest angle gets to be main event. Like, it's not always the world title. Every show doesn't have to even have the world champion or the world championship defended. Like, this is the optimism we can have with this Backlash stuff. That Styles and Nakamura, like, we could have no world championship defended. And we're just really, really, really hot for Sheamus, Cesaro, and the Bludgeon Brothers, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that matchup particularly, but, like, we can get hot for a tag team division.
And I forgot. And I was like, there's no tag team match? The tag team title match on this show. Like, after we saw two of them last week.
I've been saying this for a while. I think the best way to describe it is we're in an almost renaissance of tag team wrestling. Like, if you look at all the tag teams in NXT, Raw, and SmackDown, we should be in a renaissance of tag team
especially
wrestling.
Especially SmackDown.
Like, especially, but, like, and NXT call-ups, and, like, Sanity is on SmackDown, and, like...
Yeah, I forgot the Authors of Pain got called up.
Authors of Pain are on Raw. Like, we have the tag teams there. Like, there's a way that tag teams can be so hot that they can main event shows. And that's something I've not seen in my lifetime. I've only ever read about. Like, the Midnight Express. The Midnight Express, like, they're the attraction.
Or even, like, in the 80s, I think they had a lot of house shows. You know, obviously the A, B, C, Creed A, which was Hogan. The B, maybe, like, Jake Roberts or Macho Man. But I heard a lot of the C was, like, the C shows were, like, Hearts versus Bulldogs.
Yeah, like, Legion of Doom probably around that time. Like, we can get there. We can get there. It can happen, guys.
I'm as a purist, I really miss legit tag team wrestling. So I'm excited more so about the SmackDown than there is Raw. I'm giving Matt and Bray a chance, but... Yeah, I like that they have a name. I like teams that have a name. So once
the
they have
leaders
a name,
of worlds.
Once they have a name, I think it's like, okay, I kind of get it. So if Ziggler and McIntyre get a name, or Braun and Lashley do, I'll be like, oh, okay, you know, I'll give you guys a legit chance.
Yeah, I agree with you, honestly. I'm kind of like that, too, when it comes to tag teams. I'm like,
or like same color tights.
Yeah, don't throw two people randomly together. Like, please, let there be some sort of unity. All right, well, guys, something we definitely have to talk about. We've mentioned it at the top of the show. This is their third time going head-to-head AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. What was called a dream match at WrestleMania, we are far from that. And in just about a month, it's going to be a year since we've been, I guess you can say, anticipating this match. So what were your thoughts? Steve, we'll start with you on this match. Was it better? What do you think about this feud?
I still think the Greatest Royal Rumble matchup was a better matchup. I also think they're toying with the fact that this is a dream match to toy with us not wanting to, like, even the purists of us, those of us who just like this matchup to like this matchup, I think they're kind of trying to rob us of everything we're expecting and using that as a way to get heat. And it's working. It's working because what I want to see is what happened at Wrestle Kingdom. I've seen them do it. I know they can do it again. There's heat, but then there's not fire, and there's low blows. That's...
Yeah.
I mean, I said from a long time that, you know, Mania was part one. I think a lot of people missed that part. Like, a lot of people think that was the culmination of this. No, that's chapter one. Mm-hmm. You know, let it be chapter one. It was a great chapter one. I get what they did at Royal Rumble, our greatest Royal Rumble. You know, that was in the glorified house show, let's be real. I really thought there'd be a finish, a legit finish. I really thought it was going to be poetic justice for AJ Styles, because if you remember, Backlash 2016, he beat Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship with a low blow. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was going to be the whole, like, you know, like, hey, you know, this is what you get, AJ Styles. But made it was very painful to watch. Let's be real, Steve. It was painful to watch.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know, because you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you this. First of all, before I get into my question, because I had a question for you guys, I'm just going to say this. I hated the finish. It reminded me of two little kids fighting, and I'm going to hit you, and we're the boy parts, you know? I mean, I feel like I've seen my little brothers do this, and they're 6 years old, and then just to be laying there like, oh, like... I was like, come on, guys. Like, you're, like, one of the greatest in a lifetime. You're amazing. What are you doing there, laying there? And, yes, I cannot vouch for it. I've never been hit there. I don't have one. Okay, this is getting off topic. Well, but the point is, I don't know. But still, we've seen it done before, and the guy has gotten up, okay?
Yeah, that was weird. Like, they got up, like, a minute after, like, and then they got hit again. I don't know if they're planning on having kids anytime soon. But I really like this match, especially, like, the whole, like, chair shot to the knee, and obviously bounced back into AJ Styles' face, which was, oh, my God, like, brutal. You know, I'm sure it wasn't happy to hit, I'm sure he's going to have a big welt tomorrow, you know? But I really like this match, and I'm kind of curious, like, I'm trying to think, like, how much is too much, though? Like, if we see another match between them and it's not the end, like, I don't know. I really hope. I'm afraid that the next match AJ will win, because I really want to see Nakamura as champion. I guess maybe it'll be cool to see them in Chicago, if anything, because that should be the next time they wrestle in Chicago, and you know that Chicago crowd's gonna go crazier than.
So you think there's just gonna be a fourth match at Money in the Bank?
There has to be, right? Or as opposed to when? SmackDown?
Well, you let Nakamura, you have someone else step up to Styles, you put Nakamura in the Money in the Bank match, and then you try your best to hold off until SummerSlam, and then you actually deliver on the match in SummerSlam.
But it has to be a finish, though. You can't just not have a next match.
Well, maybe you pop. Aren't they in the UK isn't there a UK tour like next week or the week after?
But that's not the main raw. Oh, no, you're right.
But aren't they on TV in the UK in the next 2-3 weeks?
SmackDown,
but you could pop that. You could pop that.
That's
on
a possibility.
On an international show.
I was excited.
You give that match away for free.
We did see AJ beat Jinder Mahal in England back in November. I don't know. I was excited at them wrestling in Chicago. You had to ruin it.
Sorry, like, the city shouldn't make it. Like, I would much rather they build towards SummerSlam. Like, I'm less interested in Brooklyn or Chicago and more interested in SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Mania, Rumble. Like,
I don't see it going that far,
I don't see it going that far either, but I think it would be foolish to not blow it off somewhere on TV, put Nakamura in the Money in the Bank match, have Styles go up against a bigger competitor, maybe Daniel Bryan. See, if you want to give him something hot and fresh for the Chicago crowd, yeah. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles for the world title. Sick.
I think that's SummerSlam, if anything. Or not, Brian versus whoever at SummerSlam.
Brian versus anybody ever.
For the belt.
Brian versus Team Brian, Team Angle Survivor Series is about booked.
Like, so it's just a matter of when we're going to see the next match. Because you know it's not going to... It is going to be AJ Nakamura because it's just simple booking, right? The last match ended in a DQ. Now this match ended in a count out. So what's the next match going to be? No DQ, no count out. It's going to be the next match. It's a matter of whether Nakamura is finally going to win it or AJ is going to retain. I love AJ. I really want to see Nakamura as champion, though. I said last time he was ready, especially after the heel turn. He's got great heel mannerisms, and I think it's time. He's ready. Obviously, just because you're ready doesn't mean you're going to get the belt. Brian's ready, but I don't know if he's going to get the belt anytime soon. So I'm kind of curious what's going to end up happening. And my gut says Money in the Bank, Nakamura wins.
Bradley Allen in the chat says 60-minute Iron Man match at Money in the Bank. I would love to be in a world where they have 60 minutes to give any match ever. I would love to see,
especially
these
with what we just talked about, having way too many people on the roster. Like, I doubt they're going to get
these
60
guys went 21:05.
I mean, it would be great, and that was my first thought too. But then we've been hearing the stories that Shinsuke is just not. His body is just not there.
Really?
So I don't know if he can go the full, 60 minutes. I mean, I'm sure he can, but it would have to be like a very slow pace, obviously. But here's my thing. With the two terrible finishes that we've had for their prior matches, are you guys still honestly excited about seeing them again?
Yes. I am. especially because I feel like their matches have gotten better. Mania match was really, really great. Nothing taken away from that. I thought the Rumba match was a little bit better, and I thought this match was even better. So if that's the pace that they're going, then I'm excited for their next match.
All right. Well, speaking of exciting matches, we are all on the Twitterverse. So we all know that one of the matches that everyone was talking about was Seth Rollins and The Miz. Match of the night. Or what? George, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's if you're not going to be last, you got to be first. And we've seen a lot of great matches start off shows. The one in my head I can think of was Brett versus Owen for Mania 10. Even Mysterio Guerrero for Mania 21. I mean, those were opening matches that were just phenomenal. This one was no different. I'm more so impressed with The Miz, if anything. I think he's extremely underrated. I think the guy has shown that he should be categorized in maybe one of the top five guys today, not just on the mic, but just overall. I mean, we see Seth Rollins, like, oh, of course he had a great match, you know? But The Miz, man, like, I think that guy is one of the unsung heroes of the last 2 years since the brand split, you know? That's another guy that really benefited from the brand split and the exclusive pay-per-views.
I agree. I also think Miz is an unsung hero. I think Miz has been an unsung hero for so long that we're making noises on the table. That I think that I've explained this to people like literally 10 years ago, back when this reference held water, which is he went from being Snooki to being the world champion. Like, he was a reality star on MTV and then chased his passion and his dream and then faced a ridiculous amount of adversity along that way. And then became world champion, defended it against John Cena at WrestleMania, and walked away champion. And we're literally, that reference like is literally 10 years old. Like, that was 10 years ago. Like, so to say he's an unsung hero is to say he's an unsung hero on top of an unlikely story, on top of he was kind of Snooki. He was kind of the situation. Like, it's just, the story of The Miz is literally ridiculous. I want to see Brock Lesnar Miz for no other reason than they both have similar, just unlikely, do what I want career paths. But this match was match of the night. They went 20 minutes, 30 seconds. The only match that was longer was Styles Nakamura that went 21 minutes, 5 seconds. Whew.
You know, I think, look, I love The Miz. I love Seth Rollins, but they were never, they're not my favorite wrestlers. But after this match, I was just like, man, you guys got to get some spots bumped up, because I feel like this is the match. For me, this is the kind of match that I want to see all the time. Granted, I know it's crazy. That can't happen. But it was just so good. The story that they played with Seth Rollins' knee and that moment when his knee hit the post.
Oof.
Every time they showed the replay, I just like turned my head because I couldn't even see that. The sound, everything was just It was crazy. Honestly, this was a really good match. I think that this was the highlight, the best part of the show. Mm-hmm. And those guys deserve, I would want to see them go at it again, you know. But some of the people that we have seen go at it quite a bit. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. What did you guys think of that? Steve, we'll start with you.
I enjoyed this matchup. They actually referenced long-standing history, which they don't always do in the WWE, where they mentioned a Royal Rumble at Madison Square Garden that I happened to be at, where it was Randy Orton as world champion facing off against Jeff Hardy, who had not been world champion yet. And many in the building, including myself, thought that this was the time where they were going to pull the trigger on Jeff Hardy. They were going to put that rocket ship on him, even if that only meant by WrestleMania he would be somewhere else, because that's how these things happen. But if I remember correctly, they didn't do that. And fast forward, he wasn't even in the Money in the Bank match. He was replaced by John Morrison. This match, however, these guys like did a great job, had a great match. These were all great matches. And with Seth Rollins as well, does anybody else think that they're throwing around Grand Slam, Triple Slam, Triple Grand Slam? Everybody gets a title. Everybody gets a record. Kind of yeah. business are they throwing around? Like
I think they try to get, because like we've seen Jericho and Orton and like Jeff Hardy all do that in like the last, or Rollins, you all do that in the last year. I mean, I thought this match was good. I mean, I think it. I would have been fine without it. To be honest with you, I would have been fine with it. I would have been fine without it. It was what it was. I mean. Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say. Hardy just won it. I mean, I was expecting. I mean, it was fine. I can't really say too much about it. It was good. I mean, we kind of saw who was going to. I figured Seth Rollins was going to win the IC belt just because we weren't going to see SmackDown with the US and the IC belt. So I kind of like that this match wasn't like an inter-branded match. That way you can kind of know who was going to win. Obviously, Orton doesn't need any belts. I mean, if he gets it, great. I'm a big Orton mark. I love Randy Orton. Jeff Hardy, obviously, we just seen him back after being out for a good amount of time. So I'm kind of excited to see what he's going to do with the belt. I know him and Shelton's got some unfinished business. Shelton can obviously go. I hope they give him a good chance to really get over now that, you know, Gable went on Raw. So, I mean, it was good.
Yeah. I think the words you're looking for, it was a Randy Orton match. It was solid. He did his job. All right. But one of the matches that I don't know if we really knew how it was going to turn out was Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. You know, Big Cass has been really pissing people off, including me. You know, which means he's doing his job as a heel. So what did you guys think? Did you guys like the finish of the match? Did you guys like how this worked out? Do you see any hope in Big Cass's future? And what does it look like? Steve, we'll start with you.
I think the future is they wanted Daniel Bryan to continue the momentum he had from the Greatest Royal Rumble, the momentum he had from coming out of retirement, doing WrestleMania, doing the Greatest Royal Rumble. They wanted to continue that momentum as him as a contender, him as a main event player, him as Daniel Bryan. But they also wanted to make Big Cass. They did that at the Greatest Royal Rumble by having Big Cass eliminate Daniel Bryan, and then they did that again by making Daniel Bryan win here, essentially get it back as you were. This does not hurt Big Cass, because Big Cass is just going around like a bad A heel, claiming, you know what? I won. I beat down that puny, skinny little punk. And he gets to move on to wherever he's going, and Daniel Bryan gets to move on wherever he's going, and they can intermingle, maybe in a ladder match, maybe in a rumble match. Like, they'll see each other again. But I think this match completely served its purpose.
If anybody thinks that wins and losses don't matter, The long term, no. See Triple H WrestleMania 12. but in the short term, I mean, I was expecting Big Cass to win. I think, like, just because Daniel Bryan's like the unsung hero, the underdog, like, he can't always win, for goodness sakes. You know, we saw him be impressive at WrestleMania, at the Greatest Royal Rumble. For goodness sakes, he has like the record now. I mean, I was not expecting it. I was really okay with Daniel Bryan losing, to be honest with you. I was like, all right, cool, he's gonna lose this match.
I was actually okay with that too.
He's gonna help Big Cass get over, you know, whatever. But I mean, he beat him, and I mean, I'm surprised that he tapped him out, because it's like, it's one thing to get your opponent knocked out for 3 seconds, you know, where they can't kick out. It's another thing to make your opponent look so bad that he's going to tap out, you know, because of so much pain. So I'm kind of confused at the booking at this. I'll wait to really, obviously I'm not here on the SmackDown show, so I'll wait to really, like, really question their booking until after SmackDown. But I mean, I was surprised. I was really surprised at this finish. I mean, love Daniel Bryan, obviously. He never has really a bad match. So, I mean, who knows? I'm just waiting for Bryan versus Miz. I mean, I'm kind of curious how long they're going to drag this out. Like, that's a match that's like, Backlash would have been way too soon. Like, I did not want to see this match on this night. So I'm happy they did a big cast, but I don't know, maybe SummerSlam? Who knows? I kind of like that they're holding off on like them even being in the ring.
Okay.
So, I honestly would like to say that The Miz came out and specifically said, Intercontinental Championship is amazing. It's mine. It's amazing because I made it amazing. Seth Rollins has it. I'm going to enter the Money in the Bank ladder match. I'm going to win it. I'm going to become Universal Champion, and I'm going to make that championship as big as the Intercontinental. Miz said that all on the after show.
Okay.
All on the post show.
He said Universal?
He said Universal because he's on Raw, right?
He's on SmackDown.
Then never mind. Never mind. He set a belt.
Okay.
He set a championship. And then, whatchamacallit, Renee held his feet to that fire, and he straight up said, oh, I'll give you this exclusive. This Tuesday, I'm going to have a qualifying match for the Money in the Bank. So, if you really wanted to get everyone super excited, so they're not going to do this, you could do Ms. Daniel Bryan Money in the Bank qualifier.
See, you know what I would love? I would love, this is my future booking. I'd love for Nakamura to beat Styles at Money in the Bank, Miz win Money in the Bank.
Mm.
Bryan beat Nakamura at SummerSlam, and then Miz cash in on Bryan.
Interesting. That's interesting. We're not quite there yet. We're not quite there on the topic, but I like the idea on the
big... Which is Bryan Miz. It's like even if they don't wrestle, like just the fact that the Miz was able to like get on Bryan and just get that belt off of him just for like 3 seconds. I mean, I just even more of a build toward that eventual like big time money match.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fun, guys, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those of you who do, we have the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos is hosted by AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Very helpful. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted, and I need a big sister for sure. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was us who sent you here from the pay-per-view after show. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Make sure to check it out.
Yeah, right. I like that podcast a lot. She has a lot of cool folks on that podcast, a lot of wrestlers, a lot of great folks coming through there. Do we have anything else to say about Brian and Cass? I think we're good here. I think we
I was just shocked at the finish. I was not expecting that finish.
I think that was part of the point.
Yeah.
That was part of the point that, like, and that was part of the experiment with Cass that, like, Brian is better than Cass. Yeah, no one's going to deny that. So why not just have the finish reflect that? That Daniel Bryan can beat Big Cass, but Big Cass can try and catch Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things, we moving on to the Elias segment, which, by the way, I send out this random tweet saying that I felt like the Elias segment was when you're at home, you're singing, then mom comes home, dad comes home, you're just like ruining the party. We had a lot of people during this segment, and I think that touching base on our first topic that a lot of people are going to be left out of the show. Mm-hmm. Not if we keep having these, 15-minute Raw segments where everybody comes out. Elias came out, The New Day, Aiden, Rusev. It was insane. We had so much going on. How did you guys feel about it? George, we'll start with you.
I mean, I can't be mad at Bobby Roode twerking. I mean, that was like the highlight of the segment. I mean, I love Elias. I mean, I guess. I mean,
you flew all those guys out there.
It's one of those things where it's like you hear like when Stephanie's on, you know, doing interviews or like occasionally Vince or Triple H, like, we're here to put smiles on people's faces. That's what that was. I smiled. Mission accomplished. What else can you say about it?
I don't know. Looking at that segment, knowing how well all of those people can actually perform in the ring, not as entertainers, it reminded me of how versatile everyone in this segment was.
Mm-hmm.
That they were able, like, the New Day are like a top five current main roster tag team. Like, Elias is probably a future world champion. Like, all of these people are kind of, if you will, clowning in this segment. Bobby Roode's a future world champion. Like, and they're all.
I hope so.
Titus O'Neil will be present. will be like, but all of these future world champions, future Hall of Famers, coming in and get to clown it up in a whole segment like this.
I love Fandango dancing.
But like, I guarantee you someone in that segment within 90 days from now will be taken super seriously on a one-on-one main event feud for the world title.
I hope so.
So like,
hopefully it's Bobby Roode.
If you can get that versatility out of your roster, do it. And I think that's really smart. And I think if these segments can stay enjoyable and not get run to the ground and not do them every week, I think it'll be fine. But, you know, WWE's not best at that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we didn't have on this show was any cruiserweight matches. But we did have a third women's match, well, technically for the first, on the pre-show, which was Bayley and Ruby Riott. What were your guys' thoughts on this? How did you think that everything from Bayley and Sasha, how did this all play out? George, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's just another progression of that Bayley Sasha Banks. I feel like everything else is a backdrop. I mean, Ruby Riott's probably the best out of the Riott squad.
She's the Beyonce, as I've said. I've said it before.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. The Diana Ross, the Lionel Richie of the Commodores, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm hoping that she's next for Asuka, or not Asuka, Nia Jax. And I was thinking about that when we were talking about earlier. I'm like, I really kind of see what, let's see what Ruby Riott can do. We all know her previously on the indies. You know, I think, was it Heidi Lovelace? Was that her?
That sounds correct.
Whatever. Yeah, I think that was her. But yeah, I mean, she can go. Like, we saw some good stuff with her in NXT. I really want to see what she can do as, like, especially now that Nia Jax is, like, a bigger baby face. It's like, oh, okay, that's, you know, now that she's not playing the bully, let's see what Ruby Riott can do. She's got a bit of a mean streak, which I like. And obviously, Bayley's Bayley. You know, I mean, it's just another thing. We saw some backstage segments with her and Sasha, or mm-hmm. with Sasha by herself. And I don't know, just another thing, you know.
Yeah.
Just another pre-show match.
It's a bonus. In the age without the WWE Network. In the age where you advertise your pre-show match and you open your doors early, like, this is kind of the bonus match, the unannounced. Hey, everybody, get in! Like, hey, we're gonna give you a match.
Yeah.
Like, people are happy because they get to see another match. Like, if you're a paying customer, like, that's not the end of the world. And I think as network subscribers, we're paying customers, so to get another match, like, good for us. Everything's fun. It's on the pre-show, whatever. Like, it's on the pre-show, it's a decent match, get us hot. It's at the end of the pre-show, it gets us hot for the actual show.
I feel like Ruby Riott would be the next person for Nia Jax, unless they're going to bring in, like, Mickie James, but she's kind of been, like a little dummy for Nia Jax, just kind of, she's bouncing off Mickie James and everything. I don't know.
Bayley, Banks, Ember Moon, Natalya, Ruby Riott would be... I'm trying to predict the eight women Money in the Bank match, so I wrote down all the Raw women that aren't Nia Jax, and it's Bayley, Bliss, Dana Brooke, Ember Moon, Natalya, Rousey, Riott, Banks. So Ruby Riott's in that conversation. You would think Banks or Bayley would eliminate each other. Bliss already had a shot. Ember Moon really hasn't done much on the main roster
yet. What are they going to do with Bayley and Sasha? Like, if this was 3 months, like 3 months ago, everybody was like, well, one of them is going to turn heel. Sasha's obviously going to turn heel. Like, all these predictions that, like, one of them is going to turn heel. Like, nothing's really happened since then. They're all still kind of like, I don't like you, or you're getting on my nerves. And it's like, I don't know. I kind of want to see, like, the next step of what they're going to do now. If it's, like, the same thing as right before WrestleMania.
But don't you feel they've been doing this? I mean, they've been teasing this storyline forever. Yeah. And I feel it's way past its expiration day, where it should have happened months ago, to tell you the truth. Like, from a start where they started, you know, teasing it, that's when it should have happened. But now it's kind of like, okay, yeah, it just happened already, because we know it's eventually going to happen. So just
like, if Sasha's going to turn heel, like, she should have turned heel like 3 weeks ago. Like, just do it already. And obviously, we've seen her before. I think she's much better as a heel anyways. I mean, I can't say the same about Bayley. Like, I don't know. I just don't see her as a heel. Like, even if she was, like, I don't know. She just doesn't have – I don't know. I just don't see her as a heel. But Sasha, like, if you're going to just do it already.
I think that Bayley has that, like, shelf life character, though, so where she has to turn heel. And, you know, we've seen glimpses of it already. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it has to be Bayley, just because – Her,
but it's
she
Bayley.
Can't. I know, but she can't be the cutesy, oh, I'm always happy, give me a hug person. You know, it has a shelf life.
But it's Bayley.
I know it's Bayley, but she's got to grow up and eventually hit some girls with some kendo sticks. All right, but moving on to predictions, guys. Next month we have the Money in the Bank, which is one of the most exciting pay per views, at least for me, because I get excited. All right, but. We're obviously most likely going to have a men's Money in the Bank, and obviously the woman's Money in the Bank, since we can't take that back. who are your guys' predictions? Who do we think are we going to see in them? And are we going to see an eight person for both the men and the women? Steve?
All right. I think it would be a mistake to do two separate six-man Money in the Bank ladder matches, because then for equality's sake, you would have to do four six-participant Money in the Bank ladder matches. And although you have the depth on the main roster for the men, you do not have the depth on the main roster for the women. My prediction is, assuming Alexa Bliss is healthy, it'll be Alexa Bliss, Ember Moon. No, Ember Moon should probably move on and face Nia Jax. So it'll be Bliss, Natalya, Ruby Riott, Banks, Asuka, Becky Lynch, Mandy, and Sonya. That's your eight. On the women's side, the men's side, I'm not there yet.
Man, there's a lot of people on that roster.
I know.
There's so many people on that roster.
Oh, no,
it's just so insane.
Women's, I actually figured it out. Men's, I'm still...
I mean, it's going to be like The Miz, Finn Balor. I don't know if they're going to put Daniel... I mean, might as well put Daniel Bryan. I mean, the guy's working full-time anyways, you know? I mean, he's already there. I mean, as far as winners go, I really think Miz is going to be the guy. I think he's going to be the second ever two-time.
No,
Mr. Money in the Bank.
No, they've been more.
Edge.
Punk.
Punk, well, no, I'm saying the second ever.
Oh, the second.
Edge, I mean, the second ever to win it, because Edge technically has two-time Money in the Bank, but he, like, beat it. He beat Kennedy because, you know?
No, but Punk won the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashed it in to win,
well,
win the
say,
world title
the Miz
twice.
Would be the second person.
The second
to
person,
Mr.,
oh,
to
sorry.
Win the, to win the Money
sorry,
in the Bank.
Sorry, he'll be the second person to have won Money in the Bank and cashed in. Yeah. Okay, sorry. And there are a lot of twos.
Yeah. And then, I mean, yeah, we're going to see, like, Charlotte, Asuka, Naomi, Becky. I don't know about Deville or Mandy Rose, but I don't know. I just, there's so many people on that roster.
Like that's.
I'm happy that there are going to be a lot of people on the card, because obviously there were, like I mentioned before, there were a lot of people left out tonight. Like, Finn Balor was nowhere to be found. The Usos, after killing it for the last year, nowhere to be found. Like, I miss brand exclusive pay-per-views.
Already. Mm-hmm. Already you miss them. I think I'm giving it some time. I like the idea of a really hot Money in the Bank card. I think something you could toy with, WWE.
Have they announced if Brock is gonna...
They haven't announced anything beyond Miz doing a qualifying match Tuesday, at least... Not within the... Like, they may have done something within the hour we were in this room. I will allow this. Tag team Money in the Bank match. I know that means you have three ladder matches on one show. I know that's not the greatest look. However, you can put eight tag teams. That's 16 to 18 people in one match. You get them out there. It's hot. People care. Like, a tag team Money in the Bank ladder match would... Like, you would get a bunch of really talented people really fired up to do something really, really fun, inventive, and new. And then the winner of that match gets to be crowned the next tag team, like Sanity, like Authors of Pain, like a revival of the revival. If we're talking about the renaissance of tag team wrestling, which I keep wanting to do, mainly because I wrote a book already called The Renaissance of Tag Team Wrestling that no one wants to buy, this would be a way to jumpstart it.
All right, well, I did write some predictions. I know what Money in the Bank is, what, June 14th?
Correct.
All right, I know it's so much time until then, and a lot can happen. So my thing is, Roman Reigns is going to win Money in the Bank, and it's going to be Brock versus Braun for the title. And then Roman Reigns cashes in and kind of steals Braun's moment to win the title, therefore turns heel, everyone hates him still, and it'll work. And that's pretty much my prediction there for that.
It's
know it's super crazy,
it's
super
like it's
out
six
there.
6 weeks, too. It's like a long time between pay-per-views, too. Yes. There's going to be a lot of time they can build up. So
yeah, 6 weeks, you can do anything.
Them.
You can sell me Fandango in the Money in the Bank ladder match in 6 weeks.
I love Fandango.
I love him too. Like, that was a good example, because I'm like, I would totally buy him. Like, he could totally make that match really, really good.
All right. Well, it's going to be 6 weeks until everyone sees us back, whew, right? For another pay-per-view show.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. Maybe this thing is kind of hitting us harder. Anyways. All right. Well, that was our Backlash pay-per-view after show. But before we go, George, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at ghermoza, GHERMOZA on Twitter, Instagram. Let's keep the conversation going. You know, hit us up on YouTube. We usually respond to the good comments.
Fellow purists can reach out to
That's
you.
That's right.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. That is at Steve Kaufman. It is KAUF. MANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them fairly regularly. I also run 4 different YouTube channels for people that are relevant to your interests. Ric Flair, Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, Tony Schiavone. All 4 of those people. So if I retweet the link, you should retweet the link or at least watch the video because it helps me, helps you, helps everybody.
Steve, you're a madman. You're everywhere. I don't know how you do it. Guys, Steve has like the batteries of the Energizer Bunny. I don't know. Anyways, but you guys can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @_DeniseSalcedo. I'm nice. Come talk to me. I tweet about pro wrestling and Taylor Swift. Please, please, please check out X-Pac 12360 every Wednesday. Last week we had Nick Aldis and Dave Lagana in. Before that, we had Rikishi. Who knows who's going to be in next week? So make sure to check it out. And then do not forget to check out instinctsculture.com. That is my website where I have an exclusive interview with Scorpio Sky. So please check that out. And until next time, see you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.